Former MLS player Chris Rehan. He's a local guy as well, so I'm happy to have you on the show and happy to have you help us break down everything that happened over the weekend. But 7 points, we were just talking about the table right now, Chris, and 7 points is second in the Western Conference. So is there a quick way you could break down the point and how much we need to be paying attention to the points in the table?
Yeah, I think it's obviously the number one stat you need to look at with the table. I would say San Diego, looking at 7 points, if someone would have said, hey, before the season, you guys can take 7 points out of your first three, I think absolutely Mikey Vargas and the team would have taken that for sure. It's a great place to be right now.
Chris, let's talk about, and I think on Friday we focused mainly on the offensive strategy for San Diego FC over their first two matches. But let's talk about what they've done defensively, because, you know, looking at the league right now, looking at the Western Conference table, they've given up one goal. I mean, over their first three matches, what has stood out to you about what San Diego FC has done on the defensive side so far through these three matches?
Yeah, I think obviously defensively they've been very strong, but I think, of course, credit goes to the back line. However, for me, I think the biggest thing that is setting San Diego apart are their three midfielders, Anibal Godoy, Jeppe Svechnikov. I feel like I'm going to mess that up, but
that
and Luka De La Torre.
That's pretty good.
That's okay.
Luka De La Torre, those three for me are the workhorse in for the team, and they're covering so much ground right now. And I really think it's a collective effort. I think they're playing a very pressing style of play. They're pressing the opponent. And that really starts with the front group as well as the midfield. And so I think, yes, their back line and their goalkeeper are playing fantastic right now. But for me, it's those three in the midfield that are kind of setting them apart and really making them a team to be reckoned with in the MLS.
Chris, let's talk a little bit more about midfield, because I asked you something similar, you know, kind of a similar follow-up on Friday where, you know, I think a lot of us, Scraby and I included, but a lot of our listeners are still getting to know soccer, you know, at a comprehensive level, as now we have an MLS team to watch and follow. What does a good solid midfield typically provide for a team as a whole, both offensively and defensively? Explain why the midfield is so important.
Yeah, it's really going to be your link-up play. So, you know, everything's going to go through the midfield. And if your team's playing well, then your midfielders are getting on the ball a lot. And like I said, the way San Diego's playing, they're asking a lot of their midfielders on both sides of the ball. They're asking for them to, you know, press to get forward. And San Diego is playing a 4-3-3 shape, so they're really playing with three midfielders, and they're playing them very centrally. And most teams will play with four midfielders across, two center mids and two outside mids. So because they're playing in that 4-3-3 shape, those three midfielders are having to cover a lot of ground because they're essentially down a man, as opposed to the traditional 4-4-2 shape with four midfielders. And because of that, you know, those three have really stood out to me. And so they're doing a lot of the work defensively. You know, they're not in a good midfield is not, you know, is really tight, really compact, not allowing a lot of balls to be played through them. And that's what those three are doing really well. They're keeping the defense from having to be isolated a lot with the opponent's attack. And those three for me are, and then on top of that, when they get in on the ball, Anibal Godoy with his left foot, it's been fantastic linking up play. And Luka De La Torre, he is really an attacking midfielder at heart. And so anytime that he can get into the attack, he's been fantastic in linking up play. So those three for me are really setting the standard for what midfielders should be like.
We're talking to Chris Wehan, former MLS player here, about SDFC on 97.3, The Fan, Sammy and Scraby. And I just want to talk a little bit about the head coach, Mikey Varas. And Mikey Varas is someone who, you know, I didn't know much about coming in after he was named head coach. Then I started learning about him. But it seems like his temperament is perfect for an expansion team. He seems like he has communicated his expectations to his team and they are listening. And I just want to know how important it is for a head coach to have the right formula, you know, especially with an expansion team.
Yeah, I think your temperament, what you spoke about right there, is spot on. And I was really in tune with that this last Saturday when they were away at RSL. I thought, you know, when moments got tense, he seemed very calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't seem like he gets too high and gets too low. And I think that's what you need, especially for a first-time franchise. You know, you don't want your manager, you know, feeling like there's a lot of urgency in the team, and you don't want your manager getting too down in low moments. So I think his temperament is perfect for a new franchise. And, you know, I think this is really his biggest job. I know he was the caretaker manager for the U.S. national team for a few games, but I think in terms of his managerial career, this is a massive step for him. And I think he's handling it really well. He came in and had a true identity on, hey, I want to play a pressing style of football, and I want us to be in possession of the ball, but I don't want to just keep the ball just to have a lot of passes throughout a game. I want to play forward fast. And he's gotten his team, I think, a good manager gets a team to buy into his vision. And through three games, I know it's very early in the season, but this San Diego team is 100% bought into what he's trying to do. And I think I would say that that's a very healthy sign for a new franchise.
Chris, let's play things forward a little bit. A match against Columbus coming up later in the week as San Diego FC goes back on the road. Columbus off to a good start, sitting in third place in the Eastern Conference, 7 points so far, so just like SDFC in that sense. Can you preview what Columbus is, who they have, the stars for Columbus, and what they've done so far this year well?
Yeah. So Columbus over the last two or three years has been a very good team. They won the MLS Cup a couple years ago. And they're a team under Diego Rossi. He's really their guy that's leading them. They're kind of searching for a bit of new identity. They lost their main goal scorer last year. But Diego Rossi is a player that had a lot of success at LAFC and has had a lot of success for the Columbus Crew as of recently. And so they've been under Wilfred Nancy for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's done a fantastic job there. And it's a very storied franchise, in the MLS, and one that has seen a lot of success recently. And so this is going to be by far, I would say, you know, knowing what we know now, I think the LA Galaxy wasn't the toughest test for San Diego because of the fact that LA Galaxy is really struggling right now and struggled from the get. I think this is going to be by far San Diego's toughest test. So it'll be interesting to see how they do on the road.
Talking to former MLS player Chris Wehan here on 97.3 The Fan. And I just wanted to find out a little bit more about you, Chris. What were you? What teams did you play for in the MLS, and what was your specialty?
Yeah, so I played for the San Jose Earthquakes in the MLS. Actually played alongside Anibal Godoy, so we were teammates there. So it's been fun to see him continue on his career. But spent a lot of years in the USL, the second division. San Diego Loyal, played against San Diego Loyal a number of times. If some soccer fans are familiar with them, were San Diego's USL franchise, but I was an attacking midfielder. I was played very similar to Luca De La Torre, so tried to get in front of goal as much as I could. And I would say my specialty was set pieces. So that was something that I took a lot of pride in, hitting set pieces, free kicks from around the box as well.
You know, that's one thing that I don't think people really realize. And when I went to the game, the opener, a couple weeks ago, I realized that, I mean, soccer is actually a very, very physical sport, and especially down when you're doing the corner kicks and things like that. So, how do you train yourself to be taking those hits? Because you're not wearing pads outside of, like, shin guards. But you guys are really getting at it near the goal.
Yeah, I think soccer, as people are learning the sport, it's physically taxing. You know, obviously you're running 5, 6, 7 miles in 90 minutes chasing a little ball around. but at the same time, there's a lot of moments of physical battles, whether it's slide tackles or, just like you said, wrestling in the box, trying to defending is hard when you're trying to defend a corner, defend a free kick. You have to get physical with the opponent. You can't let them break free and find free moments to get in the air and get a header. But yeah, there's so many moments throughout a game that are physical battles, and yeah, you got, you know, the shin guards these days are maybe 4 inches long. That's about all your protection is.
Oh,
so
man.
It's a physically brutal sport.
Do they still, last really weird question from me, but do they still make you, like, kick your shin guards before you play to make sure you have them?
No. They don't make you kick the shin guards. That's a great question, but they will, you know, the referees do go through, they do a thorough check before the game where when the players are lined up in the tunnel about to walk on the field, it's typically when they'll do it and they'll come through and, you know, if they feel like a player's not wearing the proper equipment, they will say something. And so these teams are prepared. The training staff has plenty of shin guards and things ready to go in case a player gets called out for maybe wearing too small of shin guards. But trust me, players are trying to do that all the time.
It's like the NFL players who don't wear knee pads. I don't understand why they don't wear knee pads playing football. I mean, it would hurt to get kicked in the shin if you're trying to use, like, small shin guards.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You should see, I mean, I've seen players, they'll get a pair of shin guards and they'll cut them in half. Because the less equipment, maybe it's just more comfortable. I don't know, maybe it's just a weird mental thing.
All right, well, those are the weird questions that I ask, but thank you for entertaining them, Chris. Appreciate your time here on 97.3 The Fan. Hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, look forward to chatting with you guys again. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you, Chris. That was Chris Wehan, former MLS player and USL player here on 97.3.